You all hear me over there, yeah? Yeah, you might have to really tune your head to my accent, you know? But it's not far off the Cork accent, I don't think. Or is it? I don't know. I think it's close. Yeah. Yeah, I did live in Dublin for about 15 years. But I'm back living in, I live in Snowdonia now with Ivan, who we saw earlier. Oh, she didn't frighten you too much. So I've gone through some reading, and I do stuff with music as well, right? I don't know how it'll work. It might be chaos. I don't know. But I'm just going to blame it on the recession. Everybody else is blaming the recession for everything, so I should be part of that. Poetry will do well in the recession, by the way. People need something to hang on to. We never had a recession in Wales. Well, we never had a boom, we just had constant recession. So we haven't even noticed it, you know. We feel shit all the time. But it's good. So I'm going to do, I've got two books published in Wales, and this one was published by Salmon. Actually 10 years ago now. I have written things since. I've been concentrating on performing stuff, and also I play in a reggae band, and I'm singing and playing a reggae band in Wales. Wales is the foremost reggae band, so they say. There's only three in Wales. But there's three good ones. But this is okay, I'm not too close, so I'm not kind of popping or anything. So first thing I'm going to do, I'm just going to do some straight stuff, and then we'll try. I was once at the reading in Irish, he could have been an Irish poet, I can't remember, and he said this reading is going to be in two parts, first part and second part, he said. And he wasn't even going to be funny. So I said, okay. I grew up on Anglesey in the kind of late 70s, mid 80s, and that. And it was very rural, you know, well-speaking. There was a lot of people, they're still around, but there was a lot of people like mechanics who were very important because they could fix things, usually cars and tractors. And they were very important, they were like, you know, the doctors of the area. And they were always kind of characters as well. So I thought I'd start off with these poems called Mechanics. And here we go. Not sure how far away I can be from this. There you go. Says here, page 47. First guy is called Ted Kay of Ted the Car, a selfish runner. Ted sat at the table after fixing Dad's car. Slumped black hands, he held the red tomato tight, smearing it with castor. Mother gave him a cloth, he refused and ate the tomato. Ted was a real mechanic. Every bristle and blackhead oozed oil, each pore and wrinkle sweated the black stuff. Ted lived with chickens and goats in a broken back roof house on a sharp bend in the road. Ted said it was handy. Does he see people came too fast from the bend and crashed into his yard? Everything I'm going to say is true. This guy down the story. He lived on the estuary, had a very beautiful daughter, so I used to like to go there and watch him fix cars, of course. Dan lived by the estuary with the call of oyster catchers and curlews. On summer evenings he'd be in the Jaguars, or maybe a green Daimler, his face warping clutch fluid. Dan knew a fault by the noise or lack of noise. He lived engines and fine tuning, his music, caterpillar, smooth running. Mike's dad is the next one. Mike's a friend of mine. His dad had a JCB, and still does. He's actually a tractor enthusiast. He buys tractors from all over the world. What's all, in the world he chose. Big thing. Canada. I was on the way, I can't remember what I was doing, I was collecting a television. I was going to watch some concert or something on the TV, and I crashed. And I can never say the first line of this poem. So if I stumble on it, it's a really difficult line. It's from Mike's dad. Mint flew across the dashboard. I faced the way I came from, stopped an inch from the lamppost. My wheel came off on New Year's Eve on a bypass. I thought of Mike's dad and his JCB. I arrived in the middle of outer Africa. Zebras tore across the screen. Then you said, let's go. I rescued women in Morris Minor. I pulled preachers from hedges and drunks from ditches. There's nothing I like on a good rescue. Besides, I've seen that film before. And this guy was actually Irish, he was called Maguire. But I never realised he was Irish, you know? You know, when you're a kid, you just think everybody's the same, you know? And he was a cool dude, this so. And also, he had a very nice daughter, but she was very elusive. And I was too young in the project. And so this is Paul Maguire. The red dashboard lights and enough rain to drown. Water drilling roads the wettest day of November. A week after my father's funeral, I sit dripping in my brother's kitchen. The tow rope snaps and cracks on the west bend. My breath smudging countryside on the cold windscreen. Maguire stands in the yawn of his garage door, unshaven, profile sharp as a cleaver. He goes straight for compression, the engine coughs. The car isn't worth it. By the way, sorry, I didn't know about your father. This car is called Bob, and he called himself the psychic mechanic. And his kind of ruse was he wanted to step away from the car while he kind of concentrated on what the problem was. He warned us to step back from the car, the psychic mechanic, no need to oil his hands or wrestle with a heat-abused nut. Mind of a machine, he probes and illuminates. Starting up, he smashes up wall-to-wall February fog, spears the car through his overcoat of night. There is no charge, for this is his vocation, machine doctor, bone setter. He hands back the car keys, ignition switch fixed. And so I suppose you could hear from Israel Wells and USA. This is the last one, mechanics. This is the one of a scrapyard. I like scrapyards a lot. I was in one recently selling some copper. The price of scrap was really high. And this guy was kind of a dodgy guy. And Evans' face glows like a lamp in the miner's cold. His nose is thriving exotically. I need a light switch for an S-Red Marina. He takes me to the shed. Shells of insect antenna, proboscis dangling limp, walls crawled with holes switching it. Extracted from every long-gone model of heat like lobsters. You're lucky, it's a tenor, should be 50. Outside, the sun heads for mid-December, the lights bowling low across the frozen fields. I start the car and leave the carnage of its scrapyard. So, that's the mechanic on here. Lots of you here tonight, which is amazing for a Monday night. You should be home watching television, you know. Long time ago, I had loads of flowing hair. down to here. And they were the glory days, anyway. I had to walk 3 miles to the barber and 3 miles back. There were no buses. And I hated going to the barber, and I was about 10, 8, maybe. And the barber was a relative of ours. It was a bit kind of weird after the war. But I had to go to him because it was my dad's third cousin. It was called Will Pendray. So it was a 3 miles walk for a haircut. Dad's tongue whipped like, telling me I'm not tired, that it isn't much further. Will Pendray's hut is held together with not quite knocked-in nails and old X-ray battery signs. I sit on a bum smooth bench with tobacco-stained old men. My turn. I perch on a plank across the barber's high chair. Eye to eye with Will. He knows only one style. Desert Campaign. 1944, Africa. His big hands on my young neck. His face so close I get the alcohol of his breath. I sit like a brush. Will has no time for children. He prefers the heat, the sand, gritting his scissors, his favourite salon, a well-hammered large tank. My fringe cut as crooked as possible, my neck shaved like a pine cone. I walked home, earlobe slightly bleeding. He didn't go for hairspray or anything. Because I'm in Cork, yeah, I haven't been in Cork in 10 years, yeah. I'm glad you're all still here. When I was a kid, I happened on Rory Gallagher right on the telly, and he changed my life in a way. And so, because I'm in Cork, I know he lives here, I know he's from Ballyshannon, but who cares? He lives here, didn't he?
London.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think it's Cork, Ukraine, and named the street after him. This is for Rory. He stopped me eating my dinner. Mouth open, my life changed from that sofa in my own mind in North Wales. I was 12 and quiet. His music took me over, made me ache at the sound of his bottleneck, the power of his paint flake Stratocaster. Rory was my friend through mid-70s glam. He taught me to be fast and wild. He made me honest. He woke me up. So he was such an influence and still listen to me. He was a great man. There's kind of a theme going here. Well, for two points, I think. It's clever to have a theme. In Anglesey, when I grew up, there were a lot of stories, folk stories and a lot of ghost stories. And, you know, these stories stay with me. So each ghost here is a real ghost, but it's a believing ghost. So each ghost here exists in Anglesey. There's a ghost on the road, somewhere in the belly of Anglesey. A spirit rising from the Avonglach. A lonely driver turns to stone as a pale face moves from his car. There's a ghost on the road and an awkward bend under a roof of trees where not even starlight reaches. On an October night, the spirit flame burns and the sound of horses galloping. There's a ghost on the road in the middle of June where black clouds cross the sky like cattle. Here stands the soul of an ordinary woman waiting for a car to hit her and kill her, just like it's happened year after year. There's a ghost on the road standing in the rain, poor creature soaked to the skin. He's waiting all pathetic with his thumb out, begging for a ride home. If you see his shaky hand through the rain on your windscreen, do not pick him up, put your foot right down. There's a ghost on the road between a river and a high wall. If you let her, she'll sit in the back and whisper, dark water, blue water, in your cold ear. And it's true. Something happened to me last year, and I don't know why I'm laughing, it wasn't fun, I was driving home on the country road. Not late, about 6-7 at night, but it was dark, yeah? And there was nobody around, and this amazing thing happened to me. Well, I thought it was amazing, but I couldn't write about it for nearly a year. I didn't know what the hell to say about it, you know. I just kept it in my head, and suddenly the other day, about months ago, so it's called Pale Horses. An ordinary night, driving home after an ordinary day. I follow double whites past the pine forest with its broken trees overhanging the forgotten dry stone wall. Not thinking, just following the familiar. Automatic driving. I can't get lost even if I tried. A long slow bend reveals a revelation. I slow down and stop. I have no choice. It is what they want. I sit silent in my car, the lights full beam, while four pale horses come running slow motion out of the night. They bear no riders and are easy and free, flashing their power like coming close lightning. I am surrounded, horses front and back and to either side. They look at me as if amused. The one with a golden mane wipes his wet nostril at the side window, leaving a ghostly blur. The horses make no sound, not even a hoof clacks on the dark tar road. My mouth must be hanging open as I witness this whirlpool of white. Yet I have no memory of myself or how I feel, not even if it's hot or cold. When the horses leave, like foam on a fast spring tide, they take me away with them, leaving the body of a man sitting upright in a car by a broken, ragged pine forest. So, I love the horses. I have to go to the police station then to report four white horses. Not that they committed any crime, but, you know, they were a bit dangerous on that dark road. But it was an amazing thing to see. So this is the last one I'm going to read out straight. My mother is 84 now, and she's quite needy. She's been ill a lot. And I go and look after her once a week. She lives on her own, yeah. But, you know, I don't know if any of you have older mothers, and you can never do anything quite right, you know. No matter how much you try, and you try again, it's all wrong, you know. And the other day, I was cooking some fish for her. And it was very annoying. I went home sitting with annoyance when I wrote this. Cooking fish. I bought her the best fish and drove it fresh to her door. I put it in her fridge in the hope that she'd be pleased. But she says she feels like peas and fish fingers. I talk her round with all the goodness of my heart and the freshly caught Atlantic cod. I mention omega 3 is very good for the brain. That's what it's like, cooking fish for my mother. She tells me to get the heavy pan, the one I gave her for Christmas. It's still wrapped in festive paper under a cushion in the bedroom. She insists I clean it with soap and hot water. I heat the pan, oil spitting. I place the fillet as an offering. I open the windows wide and see all the cats in the area line up, shoulder to shoulder in my mother's back garden. That's what it's like, cooking fish for my mother. I lay the fish on a see-through plate, put the two thin slices of bread and carry it on a tray. She says it's not browned enough, not how she likes it. I watch her eat the bread first, then she complains the cod is cold. The fillet is too thick, I should have got the tail end cut so she could chew it. I want her to enjoy the fish, but she picks and fusses with the pure white flakes, pushing them around her plate. With each bite she rejects my efforts. She says, peas and fish fingers would have been much better. That's what it's like, cooking fish for my mother. Okay, I'm going to do a four more, and they've got music. I don't know if it'll work. Here we go, hang on. Just got some words here in case I forget and I just want to see how loud this is, okay? Is that loud? The right thing. Yeah. Okay, this is called Drive, and it's a kind of poem saying, come on, please come with me, come and join my life. And she did. Okay? It's cool. It's a bit loud. keys of your neighbor's cab and paint the place red. Check the oil radiator to fill it up at the petrol station. Bring a packed lunch and some good country places and we'll leave all the curves behind. We'll drive east, then turn right, taillights streaking red. We'll pass through bogs and grass over lanes, cliffs rushing with cedars, through fog and rain and the sugar and snow, scent of pine and pines in air. Cold seas will be ours, and we'll wake up warm the morning and acre of thoughts. Listen. Bring bags of sweets, bottles of coke, and we'll drive with the lights off down the middle of the road, the moon our only guide. So, be my passenger, friend and lover, bring a jumper, a toothbrush and a comb. Come on now, put a good tape on, help me drive and drive, leave all this hurt behind. Swinging like a door. If she never writes again, I'll close up my mailbox, sit alone in my room. And I'll miss her when she's gone, when she's really, really gone. And I'll miss her when she's gone, when she's really, really gone. If she doesn't let on anymore, or smile in the morning, I'll cut off my hand, put it away in a drawer. If she's no more than old letters, or scent left on clothes, I'll take my flowers to the wind, and out over an edge of stone. Because I'll miss her when she's gone. I'll miss her when she's really, really gone. Because I'll miss her when she's gone. I'll miss her when she's really, really gone.
Thank you.
CSI, and I like things like Stargate Atlantis. I kind of like the news that review as well, and I like the occasional film and stuff, but my TV is only a small square one, so I have a friend that has a big TV. to be honest with you, I just want to be on X Factor and that's it. I know we all do. You can do it with kind of punk attitude if you like. You can just go. The chorus is, right, I'll try and cue you if it's become obvious. He's big, he's big, he's big, he's big. Doesn't matter now because he's big in Hollyhead. Doesn't matter now because he's big in Hollyhead, right? That's the chorus, right? Just started off as a poem. It still is a poem, I suppose. And it kind of morphed into our reggae band it's become it. And people are downloading it everywhere from MySpace and stuff from Berlin and even singing it in Leeds for a bit. Not a lot to think about Leeds on it, but what it was, right, I did a BC Wales live thing on the radio from Holyhead and I was shifting it going to Holyhead because it's pretty rough and I didn't think anybody would turn up in BC. But it was BBC Wales live radio programme and I was to do two things, live music things on it. So it was very scary. It was a big stage and I had to get it right because it was live. And strangely enough, the theatre was really full and they liked me. And funny enough, the guy who was organising the event, not for anyway, asked me back to do a cabaret slot. But I don't do cabaret. So, the one impression I made on him, he liked me. So I wrote this for the living girl Hollyhead. Just about press Hollyhead for you, so here you go. So help me in the chorus. Here you go. I'm big in Hollyhead, oh yes, I'm big in Hollyhead. He's big, he's big, he's big, he's big. Doesn't matter now, cause he's big in Hollyhead. Doesn't matter now, cause he's big in Hollyhead. Yard. I just want to beat the bastard that pushed me around. but when the sun is dying, will I back strike down? Doesn't matter now, because I'm big in Hollyhead. I'm big in Hollyhead, oh yes, I'm big in Hollyhead. I say it once again, because it's tattooed on my leg. I'm big in Hollyhead, oh yes, I'm big in Hollyhead.
Thank you.